in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel and the 9th chapter. We have looked at verses 1 through 4 today. And we've seen, first of all, we looked at the summons that was given and how that summons was given and just exactly what the cry was that went forth. Secondly, we noticed in verse 2 the appearing. There were some men who appeared on the scene in this vision that Ezekiel was having. First of all, there were 6 men who appeared, and each one had a destroying weapon, a slaughter weapon in their hand. We took note of the place which they come from, which was from the higher gate, which was toward the north. They came out of the north, which was led us to believe, and it was the Chaldean army he was referencing. And when you read the book of Jeremiah and you read 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, the latter chapters there in those two books, it's obvious that he was talking about the Chaldean army. And these 6 men would have been 6 princes or 6 generals of that Chaldean army. We also noticed that they went in the temple. They went in and they stood beside the brazen altar, the place where burnt offerings were to be offered of the people. A place which the Israelites had desecrated with their offering sacrifices to idols. Then we also noted the note of, well, we at the time we called it mercy precedes judgment, but we've since then renamed that point, because further down I have a point that really illustrates mercy precedes judgment. But I have renamed that point the 7th man. The 7th man, the one clothed in linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And if you remember that message, we talked about as he represented the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, clothed in white linen. He is the Word of God. And thinking about that, Israel rejected him. When he came, the Son of God came, Israel rejected him. They did not believe. And therefore, they were cast off. They were, as Romans 11 says, they were branches that were cut off. They were the natural branches which were cut off. Thirdly, verse 3, we looked at the glory of God removes from the cherub. And this is a thought that introduces itself here in the 9th chapter, but it will again introduce itself in the 10th chapter and will actually culminate with him leaving completely in the 11th chapter. I think we call that message the glory of God departed, has departed. We took, well, get my right place here. We, fourth of all, took notice of the missing. The missing of the one clothed in linen. What was his mission? His mission was to go and mark some people. But what people was he to mark? What people was he to seal? He was to seal those that were saved. He was to seal them. And he was to give forth diligence in sealing them. He was to mark everyone that was weeping and mourning, lamenting for the great abominations that dwelt in the land, for sin that dwelt in the land. Have you and I wept? Have you and I wept over the sin that dwells in the land of our hearts, our lives? Have we wept and lamented and mourned over the sin that dwells in the land of the United States of America? Do we weep and mourn and lament over the sin that abounds in the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida? We also discussed, and I believe this was last week, the the security, the safety, and knowing that we as God's children are sealed. Yes. We're sealed.
Amen.
We're safe. No man is able to pluck them out of his hand. There's nothing or no one that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of perfection, until our salvation be complete in Him. The next section, which we'll be looking at now, begins with verse 5. And it goes down through the end of the chapter. Just read verses 5 and 6 tonight and not read down to the end of the chapter, but we'll just read verses 5 and 6. And to the elders. This is after he gets done speaking to the one clothed in linen, and he gives him his mission to go and see her. Then he turned to the other six. And he speaks to them these words. And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. To the other six men, to the six destroyers, the ones with the slaughter weapon in their hand. He gave the word to carry out the execution, if you please, according to their commission. That which they had been commissioned for and to do. Did you notice? They were to go after the one clothed in linen. That is, they are to follow along behind him, so as they would not get any that was mourning and lamenting the abominations in the land and that were to be marked. They couldn't get ahead. And once that one clothes and linen, they put a mark on them. They weren't to come near them. So they were to go after the one clothed in linen to cut off and destroy all that did not have the seal, the mark, in their foreheads. All of it they were to cut off, they were to execute all that did not mourn and lament over the great abominations that was in the city, in the house of the Lord, and in the land. Take note of passage of Scripture that we have in the New Testament. And this maybe we should have read this in conjunction with the one clothed in linen. But Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 12, talking about Jesus Christ coming. John said he's just the forerunner, and there's one coming after him that he said in verse 12, he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He'll be the destroyer, and he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The picture is of a threshing floor, and the grain was there in the threshing floor, and he's coming with his fan in his hand, and the chaff is being separated from the wheat, and he gathers the wheat into the storehouse and into the barns, and the chaff, that which is left, he burns up. He destroys. Secondly, mercy. precedes judgment. Mercy precedes judgment. Oh, thank God. Thank God it does. Oh, you and I are recipients of His mercy, of His great mercy. But even mercy precedes judgment. And judgment is coming upon this world, but God's mercy precedes that judgment. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. The book of Genesis and chapter 6. In verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. It's bringing God's judgment. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what he told Ezekiel? Back two chapters ago. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make me an ark of gopher wood. There's mercy. There's God's mercy. It's preceding His judgment. Up a few verses in this chapter, it says he's going to tarry 120 years. Why was it tarrying 120 years? While the ark was a building. While the ark was being prepared. While God's mercy was being prepared. His mercy is preceding His judgment. And they that are saved must be taken out. First, taken in to the ark, taken in to safe haven before His judgment will come. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And that is to the is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark. And in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, and lower, second and third stories, shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Everything that's in the earth shall die. God's mercy has preceded His judgment. Those that are in the ark, safe in Christ. Safe in Christ's mercy. Safe in the grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a saved man. He was a righteous man. A God-fearing man. Because he was, he found mercy with the Lord. Not that he was deserving of it. He deserved to die with the rest. But God's mercy spared him. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of everything of the all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. That's God's mercy, is it not?
Amen.
I see God's mercy there. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. God's mercy. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for feed, for food, for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God's mercy preceded the judgment of the flood. Turn with me to chapter 19. Chapter 19 of Genesis. Look at verses 12 through 16. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons?" That is, the two representatives sent from God to deliver Lot and his family from the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. "And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." God had prepared mercy for them. God had prepared mercy to deliver them before his judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "You've got to leave before I rain judgment." Look at verse 16. "And while he lingered..." Lot didn't see the hurry in the matter, did he? He didn't see the urgency of the matter. What? And so he lingered. "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of the two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him." You see, he was merciful. His mercy preceded his judgment. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They brought him forth. He was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah of the Lord. The Lord brought him forth. The Lord brought him out. Have you ever noticed that before? Have you paid attention to that? And yet there are some believe concerning the end times that you and I are going to go through the judgment of God upon this earth in the tribulation period. No, mercy precedes the judgment of God. God is going to take us out. We may be lingering, but he's going to take us out. You see? Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. Hopefully I can tie this all together. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, died in Christ. They're just said to be asleep. Those bodies that are laying in the grave, in the casket in the grave, they're just asleep. I wonder if you opened them up, imagine some of them have returned to dust. But they're just asleep in the Lord. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no sleep. Don't sorrow as others which have no hope, because they're just asleep.
Amen.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Their soul, their spirit is going to return with the Lord in the air.
Yes.
Now notice this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to hinder them.
Amen.
We're not going to hinder them from what? We're not going to hinder them from coming forth. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those bodies which are asleep in Christ, in the graves, in the oceans, they're going to rise first. They're going to be reunited with their souls. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. You see, it just stands to reason that they got to come forth first. Because they got at least 6 feet further to go. You see? And then once they get up here with us, we're just all going to go like this. Together. With the Lord in the air. You see? The first part of His second coming is an appearing. An appearing in the sky. Why? To be merciful to us. To be merciful to His people. To take them out before judgment comes upon the earth. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These are comforting words. Now, just to show you that this is before the tribulation period. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And once we get past the first three chapters, which we come to chapters 4 and 5. In chapter 4, we have a scene in heaven. And what do we have in heaven? We have a throne. We have the throne of God in heaven. And we have those saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, we have that scene continues before the throne. And they're looking, they're searching for one who is worthy to open the book. And there's none that is found until they see the Lamb. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ. Look with me here, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. He's worthy. The Lamb is worthy. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What is the scene in heaven? All the people of God that were on earth and in the graves have been raptured forth. They're now in heaven and they're praising Him, the one who is worthy to take the book and open the book and the seals thereof. And what do you have in the sixth chapter? The commencement of the great tribulation. The seals of the wrath of God are being opened and being poured out upon this earth. And you have that until the 19th chapter. In the 19th chapter, you see the Lamb, the bridegroom, marrying his wife. And at the completion of that marriage and the celebration of that wedding, the Lord comes back from heaven to earth. And who's accompanying the Lord? All His saints. All His saints. You and I are accompanying the Lord. And what is He coming back to earth for? He stands upon the Mount of Olives and it cleaves asunder and He destroys the nations that are against God, that have come to do battle against Him. A great battle of Armageddon. And He defeats them and destroys them. And then the 20th chapter, we find Satan, well, before that, the false prophet and the beast are cast into the lake of fire. The 20th chapter, Satan is bound for 1,000 years and cast in the bottomless pit. Begins the Lamb's millennial reign upon earth. And you and I are with Him ruling.
Amen.
As kings and priests with our Lord and Savior. Mercy precedes judgment. It is a pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation. You see, He raptures His people out before that great tribulation period. Now, back to these six men in our text. They're ordered to destroy all. All that have not received the seal. All that have not received the mark. Without exception. They were to go through the city, following after the one clothed in linen, and kill all those not marked for saving. There must be no distinction made because of age or because of sex. Young and old. Children. Women. Young maidens. Look with me back at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 12. We'd covered this before. So the third part of them shall die with the pestilence and with the famine. Shall they be consumed in the midst of thee? And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Look down at verse 17. So will I send upon you famine and evil beast, and they shall be grieve thee. The famine and the wild beast. What were the wild beasts for? They were for destroying the children, gobbling up the young children. I thought I wrote it down. In the book of Leviticus, I don't know if I can find it. That's why I wrote it down. I want to be sure to find it. In the book of Leviticus, they were told that would be find it quickly. But anyhow, in the book of Leviticus, it tells because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion and stiff neck, that he'll send these wild beasts. And these wild beasts will be to destroy their children. That's what that word bereave thee is talking about. The wild beast, he sent the wild beast to bereave them of their children. You see, maybe it's this chapter. Nope, I know it. That's the Jubilee chapter. Well, anyhow, I told you what it's about. And this is to be, we say, how heartless. We say, how could a loving God do that? Well, God, don't let us forget that God's also a God of wrath.
Yes, amen.
And His wrath is in keeping with His justice. And His love is in keeping with His grace and mercy. You see? And that's what caused Him to prepare a Savior for us, so that He might be just in saving some to salvation. You see? And that demanded that one must pay our penalty. One must be a substitute on our behalf. But this judgment that we're talking about, this judgment that we're looking at in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 9 is to be without compassion. These destroyers are not to have compassion for these that they're destroying. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. That's what he told Ezekiel at the close of chapter 8. He said in verse 18, he said, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You see? No compassion. The time for compassion is gone. It's past. His long suffering has come to an end. His bearing long is ended. He had told them many years prior to this in the book of Micah in chapter 3, in verse 4 as well. He said, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. I mean, that's mild talk there. They behave themselves ill in their doings. In other words, it's been an ill to God. It's been a stench. It's been a reproach to God. You know, God is preached as today is a loving God. And there's a compassionate God, and I thank God that He is. But He's not loving and compassionate at all. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. In chapter 13. Verse 23 said, "Then said one unto him," unto the Lord, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And he said unto them, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Shall not be able. Are they really seeking then? No, they're not really seeking. They're making a pretense at. We covered that a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning. They're hypocrites. They're making a pretense. They're making a show of it. He said, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, you got the scene? Go back to the ark and the flood. Can't you just imagine all those mockers, and they were mocking. But I can see when the rain started and the waters came from beneath and from above. I imagine they were scrambling for their ark. They were pounding at the door. They were pounding at the ark. Let us in! Let us in! But the door was shut. And no man could open it. Not even Noah could open it. Not even when the waters had subsided and the land dried could Noah open it. Noah didn't shut it and Noah couldn't open it. Saying, "Lord, Lord, open us." And He shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not, whence ye are." You say, how uncompassionate. Yeah, it's without pity. It's without compassion. They rejected the Savior. They rejected His Word. They rejected the preaching of His men. They rejected the preaching of His church. And He'll not spare. His eye will not spare. Nor will He have pity in that day. Well, we need to close there tonight. We'll go on next week with this and look at directions given concerning those that are marked. The directions that He gives them in verse 6 of this 9th chapter. Shall we stand together tonight, be dismissed in a word of prayer?